So I'll try to be relatively brief here. We'll see what happens. Been violating tradition to be brief in the recent months. But in any case, I need to be to congratulate our new official couple here, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Gannon, for real now. So congratulations. And this beautiful mass, beautiful nuptial mass. So we'll go ahead and read here quickly the epistle and the gospel for the nuptial mass. Firstly, the epistle for the nuptial mass is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife, just as he loves himself, and let the wife respect her husband. And then the gospel. Stand for the gospel. Is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 19. At that time there came to Jesus some Pharisees, testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?" But he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder.'" Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. So the last Saturday had a wedding in Indiana, and the sermon was 55 minutes, and so I'll try to avoid that this week. And one of the people at the reception said, "Well, Father, I think you about covered it." So covered just about everything. So try not to go on too long here. But it is an interesting day in for divine providence. And it was 10 years ago, I was sitting in the little house in Post Falls. And I get this phone call from this crazy lady in southern Idaho. And they so realized immediately in that first phone call that this was going to be someone that I'd probably have to deal with for some time to come. And now 10 years later, here we are. And so that one of the first families, in fact, this is the Weldon family, is one of the first families that when I was ordained a priest 10 years ago, it's 10 years and 1 week ago that I was ordained to the priesthood. And it is 10 years ago that I dealt with one of the first families coming, working their way over to tradition and that journey. And the Weldon family was one of the first ones that I actually worked with as a priest. And it is a privilege now as I begin 1 week into the second decade of my priesthood to be able to do a sacred marriage here for Miss White Dove. So it is a privilege for me to be able to participate in this. I remember when leaving Pulse Falls, I will say this, that I didn't miss Pulse Falls that much. And I knew I was going to be able to keep Denver as and Fort Collins as my parish, and so I was happy with that. And I knew I didn't have to go to L.A. I thought I was going to have to go to Los Angeles, but instead they sent me to Phoenix. They changed their minds at the last minute, and then I changed my flight from Los Angeles to Phoenix from Denver, went from Pulse Falls to Denver to here. And I remember as I was departing, I said, there aren't too many things I'll miss from Pulse Falls, except it's a nice place. But one of them is that, you know, I just want to be able to continue to work with the Weldons there. And in any case, so I thought that would be, you know, be far away forever. And the next thing you know, the Providence arranges that the whole family meanders down here to Colorado. And then, you know, Providence arranges that after 10 years, we are able to finally hook up again. And it is really a privilege to be able to deal with you in the matters of the Catholic faith. And so that really is a privilege. And also during the course of these 10 years, you need to know that frequently your family has been on my mind, very frequently over the entire time. And once in a while, been throwing you in the prayers over the whole time as well. And so just to keep that in mind. So this really is a privilege to be able to participate here in this wedding. And so to be able to be an instrument of the divine grace on this day. But a few considerations. It is said in the realm of the love of animals, there is a saying, a bird may love a fish, but where will they make a home together? So a bird may love a fish. And one of the truths of this life is that there is only one thing that unites. There is only one thing that holds us together, and that is Jesus Christ. All kinds of birds love all kinds of fishes nowadays. And they cannot live together. If they try to live in the sea, the bird drowns. If they try to live in the nest, the fish cannot breathe. And so in this union between Mr. Bill and Miss White Dove, if they wish to remain perfectly united until the day of their death and live a beautiful and happy life, they need to make sure that you stay in the same category. You must both be amongst the birds. You have to have the same faith. It is faith that unites. And not having the same beliefs. There's a common error of modern men that we believe that if a man and woman have the same beliefs, they're going to get along. Well, most men and women nowadays do have the same beliefs. I am about me. They're united in that belief. And they get together united in that belief, but they can't stay together. They fall apart because they have the same beliefs. It destroys them. It is not having the same beliefs that unites. It is not having the same beliefs that holds together. It is having the one true belief. It is the truth that glues man together. There is a certain way that God made us human creatures. He made us male and female. He made men to be men. He made women to be ladies and mothers. And if we try to become something else, we will destroy any hope of unity. And all men, men and women alike, the human race, are different from the animals of St. Thomas Aquinas because we have minds. We have a brain. Our brain can know. Therefore, the first source of unity between human beings is a unity of that which makes us human, our minds. We must have the same true faith. Same beliefs? No. The same true faith? Yes. And whenever one party or the other wanders away from the same true belief, then there enters trouble into the married life. Trouble into the union between man and woman. When God put man and woman together, He meant the union to be perfect. After creating Adam, He wanted Adam to see that he was not complete by himself. And therefore, He told Adam to name all the animals. And Adam came back to God and said, I am not complete by myself. I need a helpmate. And then, at the request of Adam, God made that helpmate. And in the creation of her, He created marriage. And He created motherhood. Motherhood is the great thing we celebrate on this day of marriage. But we are united, firstly, as human beings. United in the faith. Whatever is true is what will govern the life of Mr. Bill and Miss White Dove. Whatever is false will have nothing to do with their beliefs in their life. What is right, they will do. What is wrong, they will not. And if they live this way, there will be perfect peace and harmony and happiness in this sacred union. It has been a long journey to get to the table, to get to the place where we are today. It's been a long journey, not because of the heart, but because of the mind. Miss White Dove and Mr. Bill have wanted to do the right thing for a long time, but there has been great confusion in our modern world. Priests not teaching what they are supposed to teach. The modern world saying you don't have to live in the right way. And they have been searching for the truth. The heart has been right. But when the heart and the mind come together, then we have perfect goodness. And so today is a day when your heart and minds can be truly, properly, and totally, and catholically, and rightly united. And therefore, it's a beautiful day. And it needs to remain. Many begin with fervor, but do not end with fervor. Many begin on the right path, but do not end on the right path. We need to begin and end on the right path. Our union is a union of faith. And the faith teaches what a man is, and the faith teaches what a woman is. The man is Jesus Christ, says St. Paul in the epistle. The woman is the church, and also the Blessed Virgin Mary. But St. Paul says she is the church. And if White Dove can learn more and more how to become like unto the church, and we mentioned this last week, we'll mention it again here. What is the church? Looking at this physical church building, it is stone columns and stained glass windows and a beautiful altar and shape in the form of a cross. It is a beautiful reminder of something else. It doesn't have value in and of itself. It is good insofar as it points to something else. And it belongs to something else. These 12 columns remind us of the apostles that hold this church up. This cross reminds us of the crucifix that it is shaped in. The windows remind us of the saints that are the members of the mystical body of what? Of Jesus Christ. This church is good insofar as it points us to Jesus Christ. It is good insofar as it is connected to the tabernacle. And houses as a worthy house for the tabernacle. And St. Paul says, marriage is a great mystery, but I say in Christ and in the church. He sees in the bride the church. She is the one that makes the marriage visible. Now we know that there is a marriage when a man has a woman. We know there is a family when she has children. We know there is a home when she has touched the house and turned it into a beautiful place. We know the children have the faith when she has given it to them. She is the mystical body in marriage. She is valuable insofar as she gives Jesus Christ to her children, insofar as she sees Christ in her husband. And this requires a deep supernatural faith for her to be able to be as St. Paul says, a part of the great mystery in Christ and in the church. And so Ms. YW, you must learn to have a greater love of the church and a greater love of the faith as these years progress in your life. And then to instill that love into your children. And instill that love and teach your husband that love. Love comes from a woman. So she must teach love. And so the church teaches us to love Christ. And so the wife will be the teacher of love in the marriage. And then the husband is Christ. And the very simple rule for you, Mr. Bill, is the same as every man who enters into marriage, and that is that you must die. You must sacrifice yourself for the good of your wife and for the good of your children. Sacrifice, says in the marriage exhortation, is the key principle of married life. And when sacrifice is perfect, love is complete. And so you must try to learn the ways of perfect sacrifice there, Mr. Bill. And God will give to you great joy in your marriage. So be united in Christ. And then your children, teach them the faith. Make sure it's a part of your daily life. The lives of the saints should be read to them, to your children. You speak to them about how our Lord, how Jesus made the sky and made the clouds and so on. And make the faith a part of your daily life. The rosary together, very important. And of course, the regular sacraments. And then, in the nuptial blessing, and we'll close here in a minute or two, the nuptial blessing coming up in the middle of the Mass, Miss White Dove, you're going to be blessed in honor of three holy women. Three great and holy women, which are Rachel, Rebecca, and Sarah. And I'll mention them immediately after the Paternoster when I turn around at the canon of the Mass. It's the same time in the Mass when the oil of the sick is blessed. And it is one of the blessings that the priest does in the chasuble. It's forbidden for a priest to do a blessing in the chasuble, normally, which is this vestment we wear only at Mass. But the blessing of the bride, the consecration of the bride, is done in the chasuble to show that your marriage is going to be, and your holiness of your union, your happiness of your union, is going to be connected with the Mass and with the cross. And that's the centerpiece of your married life. And then also, that we're going to give the blessings of the three great holy women of the Old Testament, Rachel, Rebecca, and Sarah. The blessing of Rachel. May you be the beloved of your husband as was Rachel, it'll say in a few minutes here. And the beloved is the one, there is something inside of Rachel. We don't know what it is, but whatever it is, we're going to put it inside of you with the blessing of the church that made Jacob wait 14 years to marry her. And during those 14 years, it says in the book of Genesis, it seemed to him as though it was only a few days. Or he had such a longing for the time to be with Rachel that to only wait 14 years was nothing. The average man wouldn't wait 14 days for a girl. But Jacob waited 14 years. What was it that was so lovable and beloved about Rachel? Whatever it is, the church wants that to be poured inside of you. And so the first part of the blessing, may you be the beloved of your husband as was Rachel. And then secondly, the wisdom of Rebecca. And that wisdom of Rebecca, remember Rebecca, her husband was Isaac, and he was blind to the will of God. He was physically blind, but also blind to what he was supposed to do. Her son Esau wanted the birthright, but he was not supposed to get it. Jacob was supposed to get the earth birthright, but he was afraid. And so all three of them were against the will of God. And then Rebecca came in and transformed all three. Somehow she made the will of God to be accomplished. She strengthened Jacob with confidence, who was afraid and getting ready to run away. She knew the way into her husband's heart. She prepared his best meal, and she prepared Jacob to get the birthright. And she told Jacob to come in and say, "I am your son Esau." She prepared Isaac in such a way that when he found out that he was, quote-unquote, deceived, the fathers of the church say that he was not deceived. We won't discuss that here. But when he found out he was, quote-unquote, deceived, he did not become angry. The average man would be very angry. "I've been deceived by my wife again." But somehow she was able to pull them together. Isaac was not angry. Jacob was blessed. And then Esau was intent on killing Jacob. When they meet a year or two later, Esau embraces Jacob. And so they became friends again. How did that happen? Because of the wisdom of Rebekah. She simply found a way to wait for Esau to calm down, to get Isaac at the right moment, to get Jacob at the right moment. She was attentive every day to the details of Isaac and Jacob and Esau's life. And each day she found a way to try to find a way to connect those details to God and His plan. And she prayed all the time about what God's will might be. And then when the day of crisis come, she simply knew what to do. And so if you ask for the wisdom of Rebekah, you will be able to know what to do when that time comes. When the troubles of your life come, when you don't know what to do with your children or how best to treat your husband with this particular problem or that one, you simply call upon the grace of the marriage that you're going to receive today, and our Holy Ghost and Blessed Virgin will enlighten you as to what you should do. And remember, charity is always the right reaction, and anger for mom is almost always, not always, but more than 99% of the time, wrong. There's 1% where you have to get mad and start kicking some people around. But 99% of the time, it's wrong. And then the third part of the blessing, Sarah. Sarah, her husband was Abraham. Another point concerning these three holy women is that they all knew each other. Remember, Sarah was a grandma, and then Rebekah, the mother, and then the daughter-in-law, the Rachel. So they all three knew each other in their own lives, and they each gathered from each other their graces. They all worked together, so to speak. But Sarah, her husband did not give her children, and he was not always a good husband, Abraham. And yet she remained faithful to him, in charity and love, regardless of the fact that he gave her nothing. And so you will not look for recompense in your marriage. Sarah gave love regardless, and she did not understand, and she did not believe when God blessed her. But because she was faithful for the 90 years of her marriage, when God said she was going to have a child, she didn't believe it, but she had one anyway. Because her heart had been good all those years, and she had been faithful all those years. And so when she made the grave mistake, she was forgiven immediately by God. And so long life and fidelity will cover the many mistakes that you may make during your life. They'll simply be wiped out like Sarah's mistakes. And so that's the great blessing you receive during the canon of the Mass of those three holy women. And then, of course, that you remain chaste in your marriage and that you be blessed by a perfect fidelity to your husband in all things. And then the husband is blessed, Mr. Bill is blessed, by Miss White Dove being blessed. And that's the way of the church on this day of marriage. And then at the end, a final blessing. You see your children to the third and fourth generation and live to a happy old age. And then and that'll be it for the marriage blessing. And then we'll conclude there at the end of the Mass. And so I'll close there. It was a privilege to be able to participate in this marriage, to be with the family again. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.